Hello everyone, welcome. I am Mira Kelly and I'm so thrilled to introduce you to Christian Sundberg today. We are going to have such a thrilling, exciting conversation. And when I came across Christian's story, all I could think of right away was I needed to share this with you. I needed to learn more. We need to know about this. We were introduced by a mutual acquaintance who reached out to me, a man based in Italy, looking to put together a book on the experiences of people who have lost children to bring comfort to mothers. And so he was looking to interview me to hear my thoughts on the subject to include that in his book. And in our conversation, I got to learn about you, Christian. So hello and welcome.
Hello, Mira. It's an honor. Thank you.
The honor is absolutely ours.
The honor is mine. Doing very important work, as I just mentioned. I think this is very important for people to hear. And so I really appreciate what you're doing. And thank you very much.
Thank you. And what I really loved about your story right away was what this man shared with me, that you remember your experience, your existence before birth here on earth. And I was so thrilled that I was like, oh my God, we have to talk to him. And yes. So I would love to know more. Please take us right in.
Sure. Well, it's kind of a big story, and it's too hard to articulate. And in fact, most of it is just beyond language. I find there's a really hard time trying to put words on any of this, because words are of our local world. You know, they're form, symbols, and where we come from transcends all the symbols of Earth. It's bigger than anything we can put words to. But anyway, that disclaimer being said. So I guess I'll try to go in order, but even order is a little bit fuzzy here, because these experiences do have a sequence, but they also simultaneously kind of are happening at once. Like even right now, I feel like these experiences are not so much in the past. They're kind of now, even though some were before others. So I don't know how to really articulate that, but I'll say...
You're talking to the right people, because my audience has already heard me talk about simultaneous time. So everybody, I imagine, is nodding
That's
their
great.
Head and saying, oh, we're with you.
That's great. Yeah. So my earliest memory first of all, the memory that I have is connected with my journey here. And the memory that has, so I had memory when I was a child in this life, and I assumed everybody did for a while. And then eventually when I got to be about 7 or so years old, I had forgotten it. And it returned at about the age 30. I'm 38 right now. It returned after I had gone down a certain path of spiritual awakening and meditation. And as the memory has returned to me, it's come in a way that is helpful for my purpose. So there are aspects of my memory which are blocked off still, and that's okay with me. You know, like I respect the larger purposes at work here, but I do remember a very long time ago, and some of this might sound strange, but I remember a very long time ago, before I was ever physical, before I had any physical incarnation at all, being inspired by a being that I had come across who had been physical, who had physical experiences as some physical being. It doesn't matter what he was. I just know that I came across this being, and I remember being overwhelmed and inspired by the quality of his essence, his nature. It was so beautiful and full of light and joy and power. And I remember asking him, and again, these aren't words, it's all telepathic. There's all shared information. But I asked, my goodness, like, look at what you've become. Like, how did you do this? What did you possibly do to be this? And are you filled with as much joy as it looks like you're filled with? And he said, yes, I am. And he shared with me this depth of quality of being that he had. And I was absolutely inspired. And I asked him how he had done it, and he showed me that he had lived. He had showed me several things, but one, a primary experience he had had is he had been physical, And he had had a chronic health problem, some kind of pain or sickness that lasted for many years, and he had to deal with that. And it boiled down to how he chose to meet that experience and the quality with which he met that experience allowed a certain refinement of his being. I guess that's the only way I can describe it. And I was so inspired. I said, I want to do that. I want to do that. I am going to do that. And I was so dedicated, you know, just, I was really inspired. And he kind of said, yeah, that's kind of what they all say. Like brushing me off in a playful way. And I said, no, I'm serious. I want to do that. And he said, well, go talk to your guides. And so I went and I found my guides and I explained. And then I don't have it immediately after that, but I know that I lived many times after that.
I have to interrupt you right here. Yeah, sure. I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just have to ask a question and comment what you just said about this being having had this chronic illness. Yes. What you just did, you gave so much hope to so many people who have chronic conditions, right, who are dealing with a serious illness, because, you just show them the bigger purpose of it, right? A different approach, how it can be taken, yes, and seen, rather than my body is a victim and I'm victimized by needing to go, right, through something. Instead, is a path to that greater spiritual growth and awakening, right?
I agreed. And I want to say that growth and awakening is permanent. It's eternal. Mm. And so the temporary experience of illness or chronic distress or whatever is worth the price to the bold spirit who wishes to grow. And to us who are here, we resist, you know, like we're here, like, I don't like this. I don't, yes, like, I, you know, and we fight it. But the deeper parts of us know that we are eternal. We have nothing ultimately to fear. And we know that the experience may seem very real and unrelenting. When we're here, it feels unrelenting. You know, I'm here. I'm a human right now. I know, but it's not. It's just a very deep dream.
Were you able to gather what was that quality that this being met his illness with? Because you said it was a particular way. So we are definitely not talking about begrudgingly and regretfully. It was something different. What was the impression that was left in you?
That's a really good question. The best way I can put it is willingness and openness and there are no words for this, I think. It's more like a quality of love that he brought even into that pain. And it was the quality of his intent is a term I like to use, quality of intent, that comes from the physicist and consciousness explorer, Tom Campbell. It's a beautiful term. This being had a quality of intent when he met his experience, and it was not easy. Oh, we all have that opportunity. I mean, that's the thing. The thing that inspires me, the thing about your message that's so inspiring, is that we don't have to move mountains in this life. We just have to meet our experience. And it's the small things that have the most power. It's choosing love over fear. It's choosing willingness over resistance. Even in small moments, there's so much power there. And as humans who are consumed with the human drama, we forget that. Mm. But it's just the opportunity that is available to us as humans is amazing. And if there's one message I just hope to share as someone who remembers, this is an opportunity. In fact, being human is like one of the most precious gifts you could possibly be given. When you realize that you're given an opportunity to actually play this character, you're being given a slot. You know, there's an open chance that there's only so many, and you're being given one. It's like, wow, I'm so honored. And it's just a profound opportunity. I know that's hard to remember when we're suffering. I've suffered a lot in this life physically, and I knew that I would. But it is an opportunity.
Just listening to you, and I feel that energy. Because other than just giving us words, you're also transmitting that vibration, the quality of what you felt. And I'm feeling it in my heart now, too. So thank you. Thank you. And so there you are. You're so inspired by another soul. And he tells you, go talk to your guides.
Yes.
And what happens next?
So I lived many lives. And then I went back and found him later. And I said, I'm not all the way there yet, but see, I've done some of this. Mm-hmm. And I shared with him. And he was encouraging. But I knew I wasn't done yet. So now I'm going to jump a bit because I don't know exactly how all the sequence happens here, but I remember, and this is going to sound very strange, and I would only share this with this kind of group. I know how our society tends to judge these things, but I honestly remember the moment that the universe, that our universe was to be created, that the intention was being issued forth from Source and from all of us. We were all involved to take this to like the next level and to have this next level rigorous, deep experience of being physical. And I don't remember being around when the universe was created. I wasn't there. I wasn't there at the very beginning. I was doing something else. I don't know what I was doing, but I was doing something. But I remember coming early when the galaxies were young and there were just stars. And I remember soaring amongst the stars and being filled with them, so much excitement. It's all the excitement of the opportunity to play in this game is just, I can't stress enough how exciting it is to the spirit to have the opportunity. I mean, it was like, wow, we actually get to be these things, these people, these creatures, these whatever we're going to be. We get to actually be that and experience that. And it's so exciting because we know from that perspective what an opportunity that is for us to integrate experience and to expand and to grow and to express our creative natures and to be and to express love and to grow in love. And it's just a huge opportunity. But I knew even then, like, wow, this is a hard level, you know, not an easy level, a hard level game room or something, you know. Again, the words just aren't there. But anyway, so I remember that. And then I had some other experiences. And then the majority of my memory is regarding a time somewhat immediately preceding this life where I had taken a long break because I just decided I was taking a long break. So I frolicked for a long time in this realm of gold and the light. I just having fun and joy and just like having a very long weekend that I just was reluctant to give up. And I remember that I really wanted to, so I wanted to get back in the game because there was a very old fear that had vested me in a past experience, so to speak. And so I remember this guide coming to me relatively often and asking, are you ready to go back yet? Are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? And putting him off for a while and eventually saying, okay, I'm ready. And then going over with him kind of like my state, what I had done, what I had been, who I was. And it was very obvious the thing that I needed to work on. I had many qualities, but there was a great weakness. And it had vested me in a previous experience, and it was the best way I can put it is it was a fear. And this fear in this past life had caused me to die an agonizing death. I died painfully.
It was a fear of what?
Well, the fear is something to the effect of inability to escape agony or pain mixed with a being too proud to suffer. I guess it's the only way I can put it. It's a certain vibration. And this vibration had, in that life, I was not a nice person. And I had caused a lot of damage to others and to my, not true damage. So the soul can't truly be damaged, but I had caused a lot of damage to myself and others. And I really yearned to face that again and to integrate it. And I wanted to do that, not because I like had to or something, but because I knew, and this is hard to explain, but it's very important. I knew that the opportunity to go such a distance away from source and integrate that distance, if I could do that, the power expansion would be unfathomably beautiful and powerful and wonderful. And so I remember asking the guy.
I have to interrupt again, because what you just said is profound. You just gave the answer, the example, I should say, to what I've been teaching, that karma is not anything other than the self-imposed desire to do better. It's not punishment. It's not judgment. It's not that you've been a bad person and now you have to suffer. It's the desire for growth and balancing out. And you said it so beautifully. Thank you.
Thank you. No, it's so great to hear you say it, because I feel like I live in a world where so many have forgotten. Mm. And it's important that we remind each other. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's like you said, it's not that there's a requirement. It's that we see who we are. We see, in a life review, you see who you actually were. There's not a judgment needed, because you know exactly who you were. You know if you were loving or fearful or how you affected others. There's no hiding. Well, I had not been nice in this life. I had caused many others to suffer. So I wanted to re-engage this fear, and I wanted to do it. But I thought, is it even possible? I mean, I thought this fear is one of the greatest fears I've ever beheld. And I asked my guide, has it ever been done in all of creation? Has any other being ever done this? And I was told, yes. And you have all of eternity to do so. You have all time. There's no hurry. And I thought very confidently, well, if it can be done, I can do it. I just knew that. I just knew if it's possible within all that is, then I will do it. So they brought me a life, and it was perfect for this purpose. And I reviewed it, and I accepted it, and I accepted the veil. Which is
the veil very of forgetfulness.
Veil forgetfulness, yeah. And that is the thing I remember the most about all of this, is the process of accepting the veil. And I feel like even right now I'm looking right at it. I can't see through it, but it's like looking at one of the, I don't know, like in the cop shows, there's like a pane of glass where you can see one way, but you can't see the other. I feel like I'm standing right on the other side of the glass. I know they can see me, and I know the glass is there, even though I can't see it. And I can feel it. But anyway, so I accepted the veil in this life, and the vibrational drop, it was so significant and so low that I was instantly completely terrified within moments. I wasn't even born yet. I was just full of the darkness and the separation and the lack of knowledge and the Because when the veil comes over you, it's like all of a sudden you feel like you're not the whole anymore. You're not all that is. Now you're separate. Now you're in the dark. Now you know nothing. And it can be terrifying in this particular, and I get the sense that different lives have different vibrational places. And this one was quite low. And I panicked immediately. And this is very sad, but I mustered my might and I smote the veil. I rejected it. And I jumped back out because I killed the fetus. I killed the unborn child. And I had a life review for my very, very short life. Like I was there, I don't know, some very short amount of time. And I had all these beautiful intentions going in. You know, I had so much respect for the other players in the game, all my fellow spirits who were brave enough to be human. Man, I wanted to do that. You know, like I just so respected them. But when I was on the other side, I immediately saw that my fear had caused a miscarriage, and the poor mother was brought great sorrow. And not only her, but I knew then hundreds of other people whose lives had been made more difficult because of my fear. Right 5 seconds in, you know, just right at the start. And I knew everything was okay, you know, because on the other side, I mean, I feel sorrow now, even as I think about it, but it's full of joy too, because there's nothing wrong. I mean, when you know, when you're on the other side, you can see all is well. It's just a play. Everything's fine. But I was disappointed in myself. So that opportunity was wasted. But I still wanted to do this. So they eventually brought me this life. And I remember reviewing this vast flow chart, is the best way I can describe it, of millions and millions of possibilities of how things would go over time. I remember even then thinking about it in numerical terms of age, yearly ages. And I remember reviewing qualities of my parents and how important they would be in fulfilling my mission. I knew that my father would instill confidence in me, and that confidence would be paramount to me doing this, being able to meet this fear. And I knew that I should be male, because being a man would give me the certain kind of focus and edge that I needed to meet the fear. And I knew, and I asked a lot of things. I said, I want to be, I made requests, you know, I said, I want to be intelligent again. I knew that I had been intelligent in other lives. And they said, yes, you can do that. And I said, you know what? I don't want to forget everything this time. I want to remember a small amount. Just enough. And they said, you can do that, but it will make it even more difficult. And I knew why. I could sense, because the contrast would be even greater. And I'm here to tell you, it has made this life more challenging, because I miss home. It's wonderful. This whole experience is wonderful, but I miss that state of being. And I'm not going to forsake this opportunity. I've spent a very long time in this life meeting it fully, and I intend to do so. But I'm just saying that I knew at the time that it would be hard to have some memory. And I knew that it was almost necessary to forget, because the constraints of being human are so high. And the restriction of not remembering who you are is so great that it can be incredibly painful to remember who you are and still be here. And in fact, not only can it be painful, it's just not feasible, because you can't really, go to work in the morning if you know that you're, say, the sun, you know. So anyway, I remember asking, and they said yes. But the thing is, I knew that even that difficulty, even that contrast, was an opportunity for growth. And I knew that I was serving not only myself, but I was serving the whole by agreeing to do that. So I reviewed many, many avenues, and I knew that I would have certain opportunities, and I knew that a trauma would likely befall me in my 20s. That would crush me and basically give me the opportunity to re-experience that fear. And it did. It happened. And I had post-traumatic stress for about 8 or so years. And it was quite serious. And I went through counseling for some number of years, and also went through my spiritual awakening process. And I've met that fear to a very large extent. So I am here doing exactly what I came to do. And as I've done that, my memory has naturally returned as it is helpful for me. Only really as it is helpful. But it is helpful because I'm inspired by my own intention.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I planned this all out. And I don't remember actually saying yes, but I remember there having to be a moment to say yes, but I don't remember that moment.
May I interrupt before you say what else you remember? How is this new life plan different than the first life plan that you aborted? Was it greatly different? Like, how was it different?
This current life was not as good as the last one in terms of being optimal for my purpose, because my spirit has certain qualities that have to interface with the life. I'm strong in certain ways, and the life has to be able to work with that. And I'm weak in certain ways. And the first life was like all around, like, I don't know if you imagine a score sheet or something. I mean, all the numbers were high, you know, it was just really, it was really appropriate.
So what was the reason?
Go ahead.
What was the reason the second life isn't that optimal? Why can't it be a 10, 10, 10 everywhere? Well, is there a reason for that?
Like, I can't say it in terms of what circumstance or constraint is different specifically, but I can say that from the spiritual perspective, it's known that Earth only has so much, what Earth is limited. And so, like, there's only so many people, there's only, at any given time, there's only so many choices, there's only so many.
It totally makes sense. Yes, like you said, the flow chart needs to interact with everybody else's flow chart. And yeah.
Actually, it's not, yeah, no, this constraint set was more about my body and my parents and the life context. That was what made it appropriate or not.
Yeah.
And the body was important. I knew that this body had a limitation that other bodies do not. And I knew that other spirits would pass it up. They would not necessarily choose to be this human. And I've since studied nutrigenomics, and I've studied how my DNA influences how my brain chemistry works and how I had diet and things like that. And I have discovered I have some rather unusual genetic makeup, and I've dealt with health challenges as a result. But I knew that beforehand is what I'm saying. And I knew that it would make things difficult in a way that was important, because it would pressure my ego or something. It would provide a weight on my day-to-day experience that I needed to feel. I guess that's the best way I can put it. But so this second set of circumstances was very good. It just wasn't as efficient as the first one would have been. But it was still good. It was still very, you know, good. If I put a grade on it, maybe the first one was 99% and this one's 87%. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just making up numbers.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I remember then them telling me, I remember waiting. Oh, there's an important part I should mention. So I knew that I was going to have to accept the veil again, and I didn't want to fail again. So I practiced in something like a veil acceptance simulator, I guess is what you could call it. There's like a room where you go and a mock veil comes over you and you practice surrendering to it. Mm. And it just basically scares you and like makes you like get ready to do that dive, you know, that jump. And I remember practicing that, and the real veil's more difficult than the simulator. I remember because when it was time for the real thing, I was so pumped. I was so excited. I had all my energy gathered, because like before the life, you're like, you're so excited and you just gather all this energy and you're like so ready to go on this new adventure. So I was ready, and I remember my guide coming to me, and suddenly very abruptly, I remember this getting my attention, like, go now, like very like almost rude, but not rude, because the spirit is so like kind of free and off, not off in La La Land, but so free that like you have to all of a sudden, like, now you're on Earth time, buddy, you got to go now. And so I was like, okay now. And I remember this process where these beings, who I can only describe as technicians or tinkerers, help apply the veil to you. And I remember them asking me one last time, are you sure you want to do this? Because once you say yes, you're in. Once you're strapped in, you're in for the ride, you know. And I said, yes. And I remember the veil coming over me and just truly focusing on basically just not fighting it, basically just letting it do what it will do. Like just letting go and just letting time pass so that the veil could get a grip on me and I could be wrapped in it. And that plummet, I remember very well, the plummet of having my knowing cut off and having my connectedness disappear and feeling this, I can only describe it as like going into a vacuum, like the vacuum of space, you know, like there's just no air there. There's just no heat. There's no air. You suddenly descend from perfect connectedness and life and vibrance and knowledge to just feeling alone and dark and cut off. And it was terrifying. It was terrifying again. But I remember holding on and just like holding on and holding on and holding on. And then I remember sending a signal back through this little window. Did it take? Back to the technicians. And getting one message back through, yes. And that little window, by the way, I feel is part of, it's not really a window, but it's part of why I remember. So anyway, I held on for as long as I could, and they said yes, and the veil took, then I was in the womb. And I was there for a while, and eventually I just decided, you know what? I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous. I mean, this is so low vibration. This is so dark. I am not doing this. So once again, I began to muster my might to fight my way out. I was not going to have it. And then the most beautiful thing happened. The only way I can put it is the Spirit of God came to me. The great Spirit of God, and it showed me all the galaxies and all the stars, and I knew that they were me and I was them, and it said to me, this is still what you are. You can never not be this. It's very emotional because I can't tell you how personal that feeling is. It's what we are. You know, we are that. We are that love. And the Spirit reminded me of that, and it calmed me. You know, it calmed me enough that I could let go and just surrender to this simple experience of being in the womb. And my next memory is a shock of being born. I have one visual image memory from the day I was born, just one. But it was of the room after they pulled me out. And later in my life, I drew the room for my mother and I just identified, you were here, the doctor was here, here was the window, here was the heating grate. And I was right, apparently. I mean, I knew I would be, but I just remember that one image and being like, I remember being like, what is this place? And I'm like, what? Where am I? This is so, who are these beings who are taking care of me? Like, what is going on? Like, I remember like, there was no context yet. It was just sense data. It was just shock and cold and light and sound and people are touching me and someone is cutting my body and, you know, like there's things going on, you know, like I don't know what's going on. It was very shocking. And then what happened was a few weeks after that, as an infant, I almost died. This is a separate story, but I turned purple because I had some kind of a respiratory infection and I wasn't breathing, and they rushed me to the hospital. And my father at the time sensed, he was working on a house. He was doing some kind of remodeling, and he just suddenly put down his work and he said, I don't know how I know, but Christian is in the hospital and I need to go right now. This is before the day of cell phones. And he went to the hospital and they baptized me in the hospital because they thought I was going to die. But anyway, so I didn't die. I made it. I don't remember that event. I only remember that first shock of being born. And I remember some stress near that period, but I don't remember that almost dying. But then as I got older, I mean, I used to recall these memories and I used to kind of cheat a little bit. I would kind of draw upon the flowchart memory and try to see what was going to happen. You know, like, it was like peeking, you know, like behind, you know, I don't know, peeking behind the veil or something, and just, well, what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, what, just because it was your kid, you're curious, you know, and it was like, well, huh, that's weird. Well, I wonder when this person's going to come over. And eventually, I think it started getting cut off for me, especially around age 5. It was like I was not allowed to cheat anymore. The veil was getting thicker and thicker as I became more and more focused on the physical. But anyway, as a kid, I remember expecting that everybody knew that we weren't from here. I mean, everybody must know that this is just a game. You know, this is like just a place we come and we're having a neat experience. And I assumed some things from the other reality were true here. For instance, I assumed that people could feel each other's emotions, which is very normal in other reality systems, but not normal on Earth. And I remember one day as a little kid, and I don't know how old, but I was young enough where I had only recently learned how to walk. And I remember being in a diaper, and I remember standing at this couch, and my parents had a neighbor friend over. And I remember there was this music on, and I told the neighbor, watch me dance. And I remember dancing to this funky music on the record player and shaking my little tush and feeling funky. And the woman walked away unimpressed. And I was like, she can't feel what I'm feeling. And when I realized that, I was just dumbfounded. I was like, where the heck am I? What place is this that we can't feel each other's emotions? What is going on?
I love this.
Any sense to me? It was like, and I had other assumptions, you know, just things like I assumed that the higher someone was in society, the more loving and wise they were. Because in other reality systems, the more powerful beings of love and wisdom just naturally have, not positions, but something like positions of leadership or power, you know, guides. They're loving and wise. That turned out not to be exceptionally true. But anyway, so the memories ended up kind of fading, as I said, and eventually I didn't remember that at all. And when this began to return to me, it was like, oh my gosh, how did I ever forget that? How did I ever forget that? You know, like, I can't believe I forgot that. I mean, it's the most natural thing in the world to remember, but I forgot. You know, how did that happen? But I know it's because of the veil. It's very thick. And the more we focus on the physical content, and especially our labels of the physical content, the deeper the physical experience becomes. You know, it's not that the physical experience is bad. It's just thick and rigorous, and it's consistent. Yeah. And it gives us an opportunity to be challenged and to wield intent, to make choices that are either love-based or fear-based. So I think that's about a summary.
The most, I mean,
there's some other smaller things, but I think that's really that's the gist of it. And there are other places that sometimes will come to me, and I try to go there, and I just sense, nope, you don't need to go there. Because there's something of an entertainment aspect that I think is not necessary. Like, it's entertaining to think, oh, wow, you know, I live these other lives. Like, I know, for instance, one time after I was meditating, I just suddenly became spontaneously aware I had lived hundreds of other lives. I just saw these spheres, and I knew they were me. And I had this deep, profound sense that the me that feels like me to me was those other people. It's not like, I always thought, if reincarnation is real, then it must be some other people, and I'm them. No, it was me.
It's like, always us. Exactly. Like, that's how everybody experiences it. Yeah.
It's definitely me. And so it's like, I remember just like brief snippets. Like, I remember being a woman who gave birth, and it was terribly painful, and having trauma that was like the fear I experienced in this life, and having to give birth a second time and being terrified of having to give birth because of the pain of giving birth. And this was in a time when there was not medicine. I remember being very simple surroundings. But anyway, so those things are entertaining, but they're not really pertinent. I mean, not why I'm here. We don't come here just for that. We come here to be human. So I respect, I guess I'm just saying I respect the fact that I don't remember more. And when I am curious, I respect when my guides, whom I do not commonly consciously remember, I know they're there, I can feel them, but when they kind of give me the gentle no, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm totally okay with that. And I've had out-of-body experiences, that's the other thing, and I've had some very eye-opening out-of-body experiences, and they're very wonderful and just so full of joy and fun, but they're not why I'm here either. We're here to use this experience fully for everything that it can be and not get distracted. And actually another reason the veil is there, it helps us not get distracted.
Right. Right. And so now that you had this experience in your 20s and you dealt with the PTSD after it, and that brought about the spiritual awakening within you, and now you have the awareness of, I actually have overcome this fear. I've worked through it. I can say that I'm on the other side of this river I've been crossing.
I'm not all the way on the other side of it. I've healed a great deal of it.
Mm.
And I have the sense that if I, even if I were to be finished with this life right now,
yeah,
I've already accomplished a very important step.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that, that's the thing, is that the my ego would like this to be quick and easy and just get it done, you know, like, oh, I have a task. I came to have this task of overcoming this fear. Let's finish that task. That's how the human mind thinks.
Yeah.
But I've come to find that the soul works in its own time. And it's very mm-hmm. important to let time do its work on us.
Yeah.
And so what I'm letting happen is I'm being fully human. That's the hardest thing. Is to fully, like, I didn't even realize I had so much fear that for the first 30 years of my life, I didn't even allow myself to be fully present for simple things. I was always resisting. And now I am not doing that. I am here now. I am present, even with simple sensation. I'm a very sensitive person. I can sense energy. I'm very sensitive to foods and medicines and environments. Ask my very patient wife. She's very patient with my sensitivities. And part of that sensitivity actually goes hand in hand with the awareness that I asked to have, because I knew it would mean I'd have to be more sensitive. And that sensitivity is an opportunity. Even though it's hard sometimes, I'm committing day to day, just day to day,
to the learning.
Be fully present with whatever I'm feeling and whatever I'm seeing and whomever I am. And I am no longer ashamed. I'm no longer afraid to be somebody or to fail in some way. I'm not afraid to feel pain. I felt a lot of pain in this life. And I've actually come close to death a few times, at least twice in my adult life. But I don't, I work to allow that. And as you do that, it's funny because we resist our suffering so much, but ironically, the way past the suffering is often through the suffering, not around it, not solving it. You can't have I don't mean to overgeneralize, but you can't have the intention to solve the suffering.
Outside of it, right?
Yeah, you need to, right, outside of it. You need to realize that the universe is built from a place of love.
Mm.
It's here for a purpose of love. It's here from a purpose of love and built from wisdom. So we can work with it. We can work with that human experience as it comes to us, even in the small ways. And there's so much power available there, and people don't realize how powerful they are day to day. It's a hopeful message.
And actually, so perfect for what I would love to have you say to us. If there is a message you want to give to people, if there is something you want to bring from the story that everybody, each and every one of us applies in our lives, what would that be?
I think the most important message is that you, whoever you are listening today, are loved. You are deeply, deeply loved. You are so loved that if you could feel even a tiny bit of it, you would be brought to your knees and cry for joy. You are loved. And so many of us don't even dare to believe that we're worthy of it, let alone think it's a real thing. I mean, here on earth, we have some very harsh experiences that can happen here. And I understand that that's very hard and rigorous many times, but the love is always there, even when those experiences are happening. It's like right on the other side. It's closer to us than our own breath. I guess that's the most important thing I could possibly say is you are love. You are loved. You are love. You are an immortal spirit. You're not going to die. There is no such thing as death. There is only the experience of being human. And whoever you are here listening today, you are you. You're not a human. You're you. And the you is having the experience of being a human.
And how would you suggest we deal with this forgetfulness and with this veil? Because you have the ability to remember, but most of us don't. And we're looking for that sense of remembering so we feel that love, so we feel that connection with all that is. How do you advise we deal with it?
I think it's so important that we surrender to the present moment. Because the present moment is not our enemy. And the veil, even though it is obscured so much, is not our enemy either. Our goal is not to find our damned way out. You know, there's so many people just want to get out. I'm here to tell you, having the opportunity to be human is an absolutely precious, amazing opportunity and gift. It's like being handed the most precious gift in the universe. And here you are. So all you have to do is meet this moment open with openness. Mm-hmm. You don't have to solve a huge crisis. You don't have to accomplish some activity. You just need to choose in your own heart, feel who you are and be here in this moment. The power is now. It's not anywhere else. It's always right here, right now. And the veil, I keep saying it's thick, but it's actually thin. And there is no, this gets into some other ideas, but there's no physical universe, actually. What there is the experience of a physical universe. There's you, your consciousness, and it's having an experience of context. And the veil simply allows you to focus on that experience. But if you stop focusing on it, if you stop focusing on the sense data, the sight, the sound, the smell, the touch, the thoughts, if you step back from all that, you very naturally will find that you are already on the other side of the veil. It's not like you're completely stuck here. There's just a portion of you that is completely focused here, and because of the veil, you can't seem to find your way out. But the big you, the true you, your higher self, is always everywhere. It's always on the other side of the veil, and you're already connected to those systems. That's why out-of-body experiences can happen, and other, you know, we can go to other environments. I mean, I've had a few experiences where I've seen environments out of body that are so beautiful. The colors are alive and rich, and you could spend all day looking at the grass, you know, if it's a reality system with grass, because we like grass. But you know that I'm. So how can I go there when I'm here? Well, I'm only partially here. And I just happen to have some awareness of that. I mean, I'm actually very thankful that I don't have more memory. I have thanked my guides that the veil remains over me to the extent that it does. Because like I said, it's painful having some knowledge, but I feel like the people, when I walk down the street and I see other people, I feel love for them. And I feel that these other people are my brothers and sisters who just are convinced. Yeah. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. The veil's here for a reason. I mean, this whole thing is here for a reason. It's not like there's a big mistake.
Yeah. What you're saying is truly extraordinary. And I know that we can keep on talking about, so, you know, there's so much more. And I would love for us to keep talking. But for now, I would love to hear how people can connect with you and learn more from you, because I know you teach so much.
Sure. Yeah. I have a blog website called www.awalkinthephysical.com. awalkinthephysical.com. You can reach me through there, or you can find me on Facebook. I'm happy to speak to anybody that I can. I feel it's important to remind each other of who we are, and that's why I'm so complimentary of your work. I loved seeing you being on stage with Wayne Dyer. That was so cool.
Thank you. It's
so beautiful that you had the opportunity to be there for him in his life in the way that you were. Yeah. That is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I know you've touched many other people as well. So thank you for doing your part. And whoever's listening today, may not know you personally, but I'm here to tell you, you are a brave and awesome spirit for doing this. And your journey today, whatever your human journey is meaningful and wonderful. And you are a superhero for being here on Earth today. And I'm proud to remind you of that, whoever you are.
Oh, this was such an amazing ending. And as a different kind of veil descends upon me, the veil of darkness, I'm just fearing more and more. Yes. I just want to thank you for this conversation. I want to tell you how much it has impacted me, and I know it has impacted everyone. And I'm so grateful for your time. I'm so grateful for your generous sharing. And thank you. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for inspiring us to keep going strong. And thank you for allowing us to feel grateful. Because for me, you know, everything you shared allows me to feel even more grateful for everything, right?
That's so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Mira.
Bye for now, Christian.
Bye. Have a good evening. Thank you very much.
Bye.
God bless.